It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, September 11th. I'm Patricia Naft. The State Board of Education has approved new graduation requirements for high school seniors graduating in the year 2021. As Benta Berkland reports, Colorado is one of the last states to adopt such standards.
Currently, it's up to individual school districts to determine what students need to know in order to graduate from high school. But now there will be a set of statewide minimum requirements. Students must show competency in English and math. Former Democratic State Board of Education member and state senator Evie Hudak says it's a tough decision.
It's a constant push and shove about lowering them, raising them.
The proposal differs from an earlier draft that would have also required competency in social studies and science. Some school districts worried that standard was too high and would cause fewer students to graduate from high school. The requirements would apply to students currently in seventh grade. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The Paonia Board of Trustees is looking back at the recent financial history of the town, and it's not too good. KVNF's Jake Ryan sat down with board and finance committee members Ross King and Charles Stewart to discuss Paonia's financial state and future.
Now, the town audit just came out this week. Bottom line, how has the town done in 2013, 2014?
My interpretation of the audit is that there's room for improvement. Most definitely.
Historically, what we've had are dwindling cash reserves, essentially because of the theft that went from 2005 through 2011. The town lost $647,000, although there was a reimbursement, insurance reimbursement, of $149,000. We've had a period of time where we've had employees, exempt employees, receiving double-time overtime, which is improper. That amounted to a very large expense over the years. We have had bonuses, cost of living increases. And so the bottom line is we've had dwindling cash, and the cash that we do have available to us, for the most part, is restricted. And so we have a situation now where we have a very large state-mandated water project, essentially a $6 million project. We are reimbursed both on the grant and on the loan, but we are reimbursed and we have to pay the expenses as they come due. And so basically, currently we have a cash crunch, and we have dealt with that in immediate terms in, by obtaining a line of credit, which we believe will cover that immediate issue.
But was the issue these expenses running over so much, or a lack of revenue coming in to cover the base expenses and any other expenses that might arise?
I think it actually was a lack of financial control in terms of actually controlling expenditures. I don't think it was an issue of insufficient income. Obviously, the more income you have, the better. But no, the problem was the town was spending money at an alarming rate on a whole variety of things.
Yeah, and you could also look at it from the standpoint of benign neglect. Charles just pointed out we have not had any rate increases in our water and sewer activities and trash activities for a number of years. Costs have gone up. Those things need to be addressed, and you should address them when the need arises rather than wait till the time we have now. And now we're going to have to probably put in some extraordinary increases to make sure we cover all the costs that we're incurring.
That was KVNF's Jake Ryan speaking to Paonia trustees Ross King and Charles Stewart. The board is also considering fee and fine increases. To hear the extended interview with Stewart and King, where they address Paonia's financial predicament, listen to Local Motion Tuesday night at 6. The lynx, a threatened species, first disappeared from Colorado in the 1970s. However, Colorado Parks and Wildlife reintroduced the predators to the southwestern part of the state 16 years ago. Last year, the agency started monitoring the cats in the San Juan Mountains with game cameras. KVNF's Laura Pomisano spoke to Patrick O'Dell, CPW's carnivore program manager, to find out more.
What we're doing is going out in the fall, this time of the year before the snow flies, and setting out cameras in these randomly selected units And the trail cameras are set in trees and in good lynx habitat, and they're equipped to last through the winter, through the cold and through the snow, and then they'll be retrieved again in the springtime. And at that point, we'll go through all of the hundreds of thousands of photos that are captured and identify which species were detected where, and then run some statistics on that and be able to come up with some reference numbers and some occupancy estimates for how much of the habitat's being used. Another one of the protocols that we're using is snow tracking, where we're going out in the wintertime on snowmobiles or skis and within the different units, but looking for a sign, looking for essentially tracks or scat or hair where the lynx may have been, and then using that to document presence of the animals.
How is the lynx population in Colorado doing?
Well, we don't really know how it's doing in a long-term trend. This is the first year of hopefully many in doing this monitoring. And so what we did in the last year, in the winter's work last winter, was establish a baseline. So we know generally the occupancy or how much of the habitat is being used by lynx. And so we'll use that point as a reference to see how the trend line, if the occupancy goes up, down, or stays the same, to make an assessment on how the population is. So we don't have numbers. We don't know how many animals there are in the state. We reintroduced 218 animals. We know that much, but there's been some reproduction, and there's obviously been some mortality. But we think on par, the population is at least stable or increasing. We've called the reintroduction a success, in that the population is at least stable, we think. But now we're really putting some effort into monitoring the long-term trends of the animals.
What was the goal of reintroducing them?
The goal was to reestablish a population in the state. So lynx are a native species to the state. They were extirpated in the mid-1900s, late 1900, 1970 or so. It was the last time that we had a known lynx in the state. And so as the State Wildlife Agency, we put together an effort to get the population reestablished in the southwest part of the state, as I said, where all of the animals were reintroduced.
When it comes to reintroducing animals into an ecosystem, it can alter it. What effects might the lynx be having on ecosystems here?
The lynx, they're fairly low-density animals there in terms of the number of animals on the landscape. And so they're not going to have a great big ecosystem-wide kind of impact. They may have local impacts. Their primary food source is snowshoe hares. And we've demonstrated that they can also use red squirrels or chickadees as a prey item. And so there may be some local impacts, but certainly we have adequate prey supplies, and that was part of the pre-work to look at before the reintroduction happened. So I don't think that lynx necessarily will have an ecosystem scale kind of effect, but it's certainly nice to have them back on the landscape.
And geographically, what parts of the state are they found in?
Well, right now, the core population is down in the southwest in the San Juan area, although they are expanding. And so as those habitats become saturated with lynx, they're moving on. And so we do have some breeding populations in north of I-70 in Summit County area, near Copper Mountain, Winter Park areas, and in those general landmarks. That's part of the next effort of the monitoring, is that we'd like to expand. Right now, we're just focused in the southwest part of the state. We'd like to expand that to other parts of good lynx habitat in the state to see if they are truly expanding and not only just being there present, but also establishing home ranges and breeding and so on, which is really evidence of a strong population.
And what makes the lynx unique?
It's a high-elevation cat. It's got very specialized kind of body characteristics to make it competitive and inhabit the unique habitat that it does. And one of those really neat things are the very large feet. It's got these really amazingly big feet for the size of the animal that it is, and that allows it to travel over powdery snow and have some kind of a competitive advantage over other animals that may be up in that area to be an effective hunter.
That was Patrick O'Dell with Colorado Parks and Wildlife speaking to KVNF's Laura Pomisano. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.